Thinking about the end of life is not something many of us want to do, but today a variety of medical directives exist that can help your family members and healthcare providers know your wishes ahead of time. This week, Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, hosts of WRVO's health and wellness show, Take Care, interview Dr. Baron Lerner about what different medical directives do. Dr. Lerner is a medical ethicist, author, and professor at the New York University School of Medicine.
Before we talk about specific advanced medical directives, will you discuss why they're so important and what role they play in treating patients who are critically ill?
Well, we see patients who come in critically ill. Decisions need to be made urgently about how aggressive the doctor should be. Sometimes it's obvious what to do or what not to do, but oftentimes it's much more ambiguous. And in the cases where this has been discussed in advance by a patient, it gives us guidance because making decisions in the heat of the moment can be very, very difficult. You can imagine a patient gasping for breath, for example, a patient confused, and you're trying to have a coherent discussion about what to do. That's really not the ideal time to have that discussion.
What are the most common forms, documents, medical directives that are currently being used?
The three main ones are a DNR form, so do not resuscitate. And that is a very specific question. If my heart stops, will the doctors try to start it up again or not? The second one is called the living will, in which a patient writes down directions about what they do or don't want in a particular situation. So, for example, if I have no chance of meaningful recovery, please don't do X, Y, and Z. And then third, the healthcare proxy form, which I think most ethicists these days would say is the most effective, in which you designate a person and a backup person to be your decision maker when you lose capacity to make decisions themselves. And ideally, you've had one or more comprehensive discussions with that person in advance to communicate your philosophy to them.
What about filling out those forms? Can anybody do it? Is there a legal process that's involved? Do you have to include an attorney? And who keeps these forms?
In most states, you don't have to get it notarized or have a lawyer involved. So there's a legal document. You have to have two witnesses. So the person designates one proxy. They designate a backup. They put all the demographic information in, and there's two witnesses. And if that is filled out properly, it is a legally binding form. I tell my patients to spread the document far and wide because, as we know, these crises always seem to occur in the middle of the night. So I tell the patient to keep a copy. I tell them to give copies to the people they've designated. I tell them to give copies to their doctor. I think these days, in the era of electronic medical records, this information can also go onto the computer. So doctor, in the middle of the night, going onto the patient's record, can see some language that might even be able to help them in the emergency room. And that's great because that's a huge advance over the old days.
That was medical ethicist Dr. Baron Lerner speaking with Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen. More of this interview can be heard on Take Care, WRVO's health and wellness show, Sunday evening at 6:30. Support for this story comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.